Chapter 29. Sneered the Jew, catching the boy by the arm. "We'll cure you of that, my young master." Apostrophe, the Jew inflicted a smart blow on Oliver's shoulders with the club, and was raising it for a second, when the girl, rushing forward, wrested it from his hand. She flung it into the fire, with a force that brought some of the glowing coals whirling out into the room. "I won't stand by and see it done, Fagin," apostrophe cried the girl. "You've got the boy, and what more would you have? Let him be, or I shall put that mark on some of you that will bring me to the gallows before my time." Apostrophe, the girl stamped her foot violently on the floor as she vented this threat, and with her lips compressed and her hands clenched, looked alternately at the Jew and the other robber. Her face quite colorless from the passion of rage into which she had gradually worked herself. "Why, Nancy!" " said the Jew, in a soothing tone, after a pause, during which he and Mr. Sykes had stared at one another in a disconcerted manner. You're more clever than ever tonight. Ha! Ha! My dear, you are acting beautifully. Am I? " said the girl. "Take care I don't overdo it. You will be the worse for it, Fagin, if I do, and so I tell you in good time to keep clear of me." There is something about a roused woman, especially if she add to all her other strong passions the fierce impulses of recklessness and despair, which few men like to provoke. The Jew saw that it would be hopeless to effect any further mistake regarding the reality of Miss Nancy's rage, and, shrinking involuntarily back a few paces, cast a glance, half imploring and half cowardly, at Sykes, as if to hint that he was the fittest person to pursue the dialogue. Mr. Sykes, thus mutely appealed to, and possibly feeling his personal pride and influence interested in the immediate reduction of Miss Nancy to reason, gave utterance to about a couple of score of curses and threats, the rapid production of which reflected great credit on the fertility of his invention. As they produced no visible effect on the object against whom they were discharged, however, he resorted to more tangible arguments. "What do you mean by this?" said Sykes, backing the inquiry with a very common imprecation concerning the most beautiful of human features, which, if it were heard above, only once out of every 50,000 times that it is uttered below, would render blindness as common a disorder as measles. "What do you mean by it? Burn my body! Do you know who you are, and what you are?" Yes, I know all about it, replied the girl, laughing hysterically, and shaking her head from side to side, with a poor assumption of indifference. "Well then, keep quiet," rejoined Sykes, with a growl like that he was accustomed to use when addressing his dog, "or I'll quiet you for a good long time to come." The girl laughed again, even less composedly than before, and, darting a hasty look at Sykes, turned her face aside and bit her lip till the blood came. "You're a nice one," added Sykes, as he surveyed her with a contemptuous air, to take up the humane and genteel side. "A pretty subject for the child, as you call him, to make a friend of. God Almighty help me, I am. Cried the girl passionately, "and I wish I had been struck dead in the street, or had changed places with him. We passed so near tonight, before I had lent a hand in bringing him here. He's a thief, a liar, a devil, all that's bad, from this night forth. Isn't that enough for the old wretch, without clothes?" Come, Sykes, said the Jew, appealing to him in a remonstratory tone, and motioning towards the boys, who were eagerly attentive to all that passed. "We must have civil words. Civil words, Bill. Civil words." Cried the girl, whose passion was frightful to see. "Civil words, you villain. Yes, you deserve 'em from me. I thieved for you, when I was a child not half as old as this. apostrophe apostrophe pointing to Oliver. I have been in the same trade, and in the same service, for 12 years since. Don't you know it? Speak out. Don't you know it? Apostrophe, well, well, apostrophe replied the Jew, with an attempt at pacification. And, if you have, it's your living. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I, it is. Apostrophe, apostrophe returned the girl, not speaking, but pouring out the words in one continuous and vehement scream. It is my living, and the cold, wet, dirty streets are my home, and you're the wretch that drove me to them long ago, and that'll keep me there, day and night, till I die. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I shall do you a mischief. Apostrophe, apostrophe interposed the Jew, goaded by these reproaches. A mischief worse than that, if you say much more. Apostrophe, apostrophe, the girl said nothing more, but, tearing her hair and dress in a transport of passion, made such a rush at the Jew as would probably have left signal marks of her revenge upon him, had not her wrists been seized by Sykes at the right moment, upon which, she made a few ineffectual struggles, and fainted. She's all right now, apostrophe said Sykes, laying her down in a corner. She's uncommon strong in the arms, when she's up in this way. Apostrophe, the Jew wiped his forehead, and smiled, as if it were a relief, to have the disturbance over, but neither he, nor Sykes, nor the dog, nor the boys, seemed to consider it in any other light than a common occurrence incidental to business. It's the worst of having to do with women, apostrophe said the Jew, replacing his club, but they're clever, and we can't get on, in our line, without them. Charlie, show Oliver to bed. Apostrophe, I suppose he'd better not wear his best clothes tomorrow, Fagin, had he? Apostrophe, apostrophe inquired Charlie Bates. Certainly not, apostrophe replied the Jew, reciprocating the grin with which Charlie put the question. Master Bates, apparently much delighted with his commission, took the cleft stick, and led Oliver into an adjacent kitchen, where there were two or three of the beds on which he had slept before, and here, with many uncontrollable bursts of laughter, he produced the identical old suit of clothes which Oliver had so much congratulated himself upon leaving off at Mr. Brownlow's, and the accidental display of which, to Fagin, by the Jew who purchased them, had been the very first clue received of his whereabout. Put off the smart ones, apostrophe said Charlie, and I'll give them to Fagin to take care of. What fun it is! Apostrophe, poor Oliver unwillingly complied. Master Bates, rolling up the new clothes under his arm, departed from the room, leaving Oliver in the dark, and locking the door behind him. The noise of Charlie's laughter, and the voice of Miss Betsy, who opportunely arrived to throw water over her friend, and perform other feminine offices for the promotion of her recovery, might have kept many people awake under more happy circumstances than those in which Oliver was placed. But he was sick and weary, and he soon fell sound asleep. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.